We're back on Wildcat Insider, 537-1350, 866-776-1350. If you have questions or comments, you can also tweet us at the Game KMAN or send them my way to JL Kurtz. We will talk with Laird Veach at 510, the acting athletic director here at Kansas State. And next segment at 440, hear what Parker Rigler had to say after tossing the first solo no-hitter at K-State in just 40 years. No big deal. Coming up right now, we'll break down some of the basketball stuff. I've got a little bit of audio later on in hour two, by the way, of Chris Beard making a heck of a pitch for not only K-State in the NCAA tournament, but Bruce Weber as well. He certainly felt very strongly about that. And, hey, it was one of K-State's more complete performances of the season in knocking off Texas Tech. This was a game where they jumped out to a double-digit lead in the first half, and this time that double-digit lead stuck throughout the entirety of the second half, in large part because K-State played terrific defense throughout the game.
Well, I think that was the thing. I've thought about it a little bit today, and I'm not sure I can come up with – the season's long, and I'll probably forget one here or there, but I couldn't come up with a game right off the top of my head where I thought that K-State defended as consistently for 40 minutes as they did in this one. In particular, in the first 20 minutes, they really got after Tech. Maybe Tech isn't the most difficult offensive team in the league, but yet I think you're selling them short if you don't say, you know, with Keenan Evans, Justin Gray, and Zach Smith, they're pretty gifted, right?
They are.
At least that's the way I see it, and I think that's the way the K-State coaches would probably look at it. Don't want to speak for them in any way, but I think defense set the tone. I think K-State, one of the other things that really stuck out to me in calling the game, and I'm not sure why. Maybe it's the way they guard. Maybe it's just one of those days. But post-entry passes, K-State I don't think has played better in a game this year on that front than they did Saturday. They had some terrific post-entry passes over the top, from the side, whatever. They did, and DJ took advantage.
Yeah,
the numbers
right.
Pointed out. I mean, he was 8 of 11, had 19 points in 26 minutes. That's pretty productive.
It was a double-edged sword to me watching DJ Johnson play like that. And this is maybe not the best way to think about it, but watching that, you're thinking, man,
what if?
You wish that you had him back in Bramlage next year.
Yes.
I mean, the better and better he plays now, the more it's like, well, he is going to be gone at the end of this year, which is tough because I just, you know, you've heard me say it over and over again this year. I feel like he's the most valuable player on the team. I mean, I've had more fun watching that guy play over the last 4 or 5 years. I guess it's really been 5 years. Than just about anybody in recent memory with K-State, and not having him next year is going to leave a big hole. But, I mean, for right now, he's still there. He's an asset, and if he can keep playing like that, K-State's got a chance to do some things.
See what you think of this as an idea. I think for the first, I'll say, better than half of the season, I think most people would say that K-State's most consistent player was Barry Brown. Probably right after that, there was a stretch that maybe that guy was Kamau Stokes. Now here we are at the end of the regular season. Who would you say has been the most consistent through 31 games?
That's a really difficult question.
I agree.
First and foremost.
What I have come up with, I think the numbers would point it out, is probably Wes.
I would think so, and that's why you're seeing him on the All Big 12 teams.
Yeah, but, and I guess this is the point, trying to augment what you just said, Wes for a second straight year, third team All Big 12. That doesn't sound like a big deal, but go look at the first and second teams. It's a pretty good deal. And DJ, I believe he could have maybe been a third-team guy had he not missed a little bit of time and been what I'll describe as a little bit underproductive there for a short time. He's still not 100%, but honorable mention or first team or anything in between, I'm like you. I'd take him back in a heartbeat for next year.
Oh, yeah.
Led the league in field goal percentage, top five in block shots, big-time motor. He's really turned himself into a pretty good basketball player.
And he does, you know, despite whatever he's going to say, because I'll play you some audio here about his health. He was commenting on it after the game, but, I mean, he looked much healthier, I think, than he has in a handful of games
out
there.
Probably a couple weeks.
Yeah, the way that he was playing against Texas Tech. But when he did get asked a question about his health, and I'll just preface this by saying the postgame press conference was all five seniors sitting up there. Bruce Weber basically took one question and left those guys to answer everything else. So you're going to hear it like four or five different voices here, including Wesley Owundu giving giving DJ a little bit of grief about his health situation. But this is what DJ and company had to say about how he is right now.
I wouldn't say I'm very healthy, still dealing with ankle sprain from Kansas. So, you know, coming along every day.
He just played hard because of seeing that. End of discussion.
No, I was feeling. I've been feeling much better day by day.
He's 100%. I don't know what he's talking about. If I was in the stands watching the game, I would have thought he was 100%. So,
well, you got a lot in store for yourself.
So, I mean, I don't know what you take from that. I guess DJ's first response was that he's still not 100%. So that almost makes it even more impressive what he did.
Well, I think you have to take him for his word. I really honestly believe he's not 100%. But he played for quite some time at way less than 100%. And he was certainly closer yesterday, Saturday rather. I think the other guys, part of that was, you know, proud that he fought through and has continued to do so. And then others probably chiding him a little bit because he's missed some time and some practice time and that kind of stuff. And that's just part of it, right?
Yeah. Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
You could tell they were getting a kick out of it.
Well, I enjoy moments where you get to see some of the personality of guys. And multiple moments of that with all five of them being up there on the podium. I'll play this just because I'm thinking about it. We have it right here. But one of the funnier moments we've had this season was when a question was asked about the defense, and I think it was Wes told Austin Budke to go ahead and answer it, and he dropped a pretty good one-liner here.
Budke, you can answer that.
I didn't buy it. You look good from the bench. That's all
I
was saying.
I do have to say this, too. That is quite humorous. And I want to tell you how much I admire Austin Budke. From this perspective, last year he played, let's be honest, a much more significant role than he did this year as a senior. And yet he handled it first rate, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of his numbers all across the board, including those valuable minutes, were down. And yet he was still a good teammate through it and could chuckle a little bit there about it. I think you have, as a K-State fan, you probably should be proud of that because that's hard. Those guys practice hard. It's tough, man. They want to play.
Well, no, by the way, he's a chemical engineer, too.
So well, there is that.
Yeah. He's had a lot on his plate, certainly. But, yeah, he was making the point the other day, and it's a good one in his career, despite whatever you want to say about playing time, whatever. I mean, he got to play in a win over the number one team in the country last year. He got to play against North Carolina. He hit a three in Allen Fieldhouse. Yeah. I mean, that's a heck of a list.
Well, and for a guy who I thought Bruce Weber had a really funny line about him talking about the seniors the other day at that little media gathering, coming in here telling everybody he was a two guard, and Bruce is going, no, you're a four man. I mean, think about that for a second, you know, because in high school he was a post player,
right,
and was pretty dominant at a relatively small Kansas high school at Beloit. Then he goes to Hutch, and there was his sophomore year. He did handle the ball a lot. He was kind of a combo guard, but not here. You know, he just didn't quite have the skills to do that, and I think he gave, you know, quite a bit of stuff here. And then we're getting off on him, just him here, but I'm just saying I think you have to appreciate him for what he really truly is. And Zach Winter, those guys came together. I think they know they're fortunate that they got opportunities here and wouldn't trade it for anything. That's a good thing.
Well, and since we've talked about all the other seniors, I mean, I will go ahead and touch on Corby Irvin here too.
Yeah.
You know, because I think it is worthy of discussion here on the players. Everyone wants to talk about what's happening with the future of the program. If it's not that, it's are they in the tournament?
Right.
But, I mean, some of the collateral damage here is the players. The players are still out there busting their butts trying to play, and they've been putting all this work in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Corby Irvin's a guy who he has talked about. He had the chance, or at least discussed, thought about trying to go to a lower level in the offseason after playing injured last year. He didn't feel like he got to really put his best foot forward, and he's come back this year. And talk about a guy who's sort of a glue guy and just the consummate team player, doesn't care about anything but getting in there and doing whatever he can. I mean, that's certainly Corby Irvin to a T.
Well, I think you have to give him a lot of credit, too. Run through a couple of two or three things here real quick. One, he had off-season surgery. Two, he kind of reformed his body, is in much better shape. And then thirdly, much like Bud, he had a much more defined but limited role this year compared to last. And he not only handled it professionally, but I'm not even sure what is up and above and beyond that, but that's what it was. Coach Weber tells the story about there was a game, and right in the heat of the battle, he tells him to get in and goes, no, you need to put X in here. Most kids wouldn't do that. The point of that story is he's about team, first and foremost. And he wants to coach. I think making those kind of decisions, he'll probably be pretty good at it.
Yeah.
That's what I would like to think.
Yeah. No, certainly appreciate what he's turned into this year. 5:10, we'll talk with Laird Veach, K-State's acting athletics director, with John Curry off to Tennessee. When we come back, though, if you missed it yesterday, K-State not only swept Eastern Illinois in baseball to get to 9-2, but Parker Rigler made some history throwing K-State's first solo no-hitter since 1976, the first in any form since 1991 with the program. Hear what he had to say after his accomplishment coming up next here on Wildcat Insider.